Well, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 4. I want to share a passage with you this morning. You know, as we celebrate Mother's Day today, one of the couple things that's on my heart is, we have in our house, we've had some mothers go on to be with the Lord. And so we always want to remember the people that are left. We celebrate the people that, they're enjoying heaven right now. But, then we got some folk here that are missing those people that are enjoying heaven. And so we do declare grace over mamas that have lost children. We do declare grace over children who've lost mamas. Well, not lost, but they're up there. They're no longer here. And so let's just bow our heads for a moment. Let's just pray for some folk. Father, I thank you that your word says your grace is sufficient for all. God, I thank you that you're the God of peace and you're the God of comfort and that your Holy Spirit is the comforter. So we declare this morning just a peace. Lord, we know that Charlene and Destry, their baby is no longer here. So Father, I bless them in Jesus' name. And we just speak peace and comfort to them in Jesus' name. Father, we know that Brother Chris, his mom went home to be with the Lord just here recently, and of course his wife. And so, Father, we speak blessing over them and Lord, all the others as well in this house that have loved ones that are there with you. Lord, we just wish them a happy Mother's Day for us. In Jesus' name, we bless these moms in your name. Amen. Before I get started, I want to share with you something, a couple things that are real dear in my heart. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9, it says, "For a great door of effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries." Pardon me. "For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries." When God is opening doors, the enemy has to do everything he can to stop the plan of God. Now, he can't unless the minister chooses to stop. Unless we don't focus on the prize and we don't keep going, we will stop. But you have to, you've heard that saying before, new levels, new devils. And I was texting back and forth to my sister last week, and she mentioned that. She was actually in church when I texted her, I think. And she texted that to me. I'm like, man, praise God. Never had my sister minister to my spirit before. This is great. And so anyhow, so we recognize that. And that's why we keep ourselves full of the Word. We keep ourselves stirred up by the Holy Ghost. And that's why we pray for ministers and ministries. This weekend, Pastor Mercer has had a hard weekend this weekend. He's been on my heart very, very dearly. Just had a crazy event at their church this week, and some people have accused him. Ridiculous accusations, but there's no way that this man could. It's just baseless stuff. And he knows that he's not concerned about any kind of accusations, but it kind of hurt me, because I understand as a minister, you take things, you don't mean to take things personal, but you're human also. And so, so I'm just going to ask you, in your prayer times, pray for ministers. And the Mercers are going to be fine. Aaron Mercer is invincible. I mean, that's just kind of... But it is hard when you're pushing on with the things of God. And of course, Paul said this. He said, the reason why the enemy gave him or assigned a messenger of Satan to him is because God was giving him so much revelation that the enemy was scared that if people receive this revelation, darkness goes away because light pierces darkness. And I'll tell you what's happened over the, maybe 6-7 months. Pastor Aaron, he's full gospel, he's spirit-filled like us. However, he is one of the most gracious across the board. He's young. He's younger than me, I think. But he is quite the minister to ministers. And so there in the panhandle, there are, I dare say, hundreds that have been calling out, pastors that have been reaching out to Pastor Aaron for leadership, for guidance, for encouragement. And it is amazing. He started traveling to different towns in the panhandle doing these pastors' roundtables just helping them, you know, helping encourage them, and people that are in denominations and out of denominations and various non-spirit-filled type deals. And so when I heard all the stuff that was going on this just last night, I realized, oh, this makes sense, you know. And so I texted him this morning, and I said, man, I said you're a pretty awesome guy. I said you have scared some devils that no man dare scare, but you just ain't scared. And so so that's that. So just remember to pray for ministers and ministries. It's very important. There are lives that depend on it. You know, you look around this morning, there's not a whole lot of folk here, and we pray for those that are a lot of folk out of town and stuff for Mother's Day. But we do minister to a lot of pastors and a lot of other ministers. And so we feel what they feel. That's what compassion does. You feel what they feel. And so anyhow, that's that. This morning I was thinking about some mothers, and I've got three moms, I guess you can say, in my life that really have, over the years, for better than 25 years, have meant a lot to me. Of course, my own mother. And I think of the different aspects of mothers. And so my mom, growing up, she was one of the greatest faith trainers I could have ever had for the time of my life that I was in her household. Now, even still to this day, I say today, even just recently, to what mom has been to me, mom has been the person that when I get knocked down, she asked me, why are you laying there? Get up, get up. I mean, she'd be the one. You know, and they show this in the movie, Band of Brothers, but there was a true event when when the 101st Airborne Division were going into this town. They had to take the towns and clear the towns of the Germans, because this town was very important, a very strategic place. And they knew that the town was occupied by Germans. It was so quiet, they didn't know what to think. So as they started to march into the town as quietly as they could, all of a sudden they started taking fire straight down the road. They had them zeroed in. And so all the soldiers split side by, to the side. There were two columns, and they all ran and jumped in the ditches. And the commanding officer of that company, and the movie depicts it very well, and history says it's exactly what happened. He is standing up, the only guy standing up with bullets flying around him, and he's kicking his soldiers, get up, get, what are you doing? You're not going to die in this ditch, get up. And I think about that, to me, that's mom. She's the one standing in there and with the bullets flying, get up, what are you scared of? Get up, get out of here, don't, ain't no chickens in my army, get up. What in the world? You're sick, get out of bed, you know, you wipe your nose, go throw up and go get it, just keep going. You know, mom didn't take sick days. If you were sick, nowadays it's a little different. You threw up, we ain't allowed to come to school. You know, we're trying to be honest, you know what I mean? Or you have a fever, fever, take some Tylenol, you're out, go, get, you know? And nowadays, you get in trouble if you do that. But that's what my natural mother, she was the person who absolutely wouldn't allow me to quit. Her training to us was, it's you against the world. You don't need anybody to encourage you. Do what David did. Encourage yourself. Don't be pity party yourself. Get up and get it done. And then Rachel Birchfield, Miss Rachel there in Columbus, Texas, she's been, for years, she's the lady who loves you. And if there's one thing that Rachel Birchfield as a spiritual mother has been to me, she has been one of the people that constantly reminds me that you can do it. The prize is ahead. Don't give up. You always can do it. The vision is there. I believe in you. And I email her every Mother's Day and thank her. And this morning, it just really, there was kind of a depth to what I was thinking this morning. So I emailed her. I said, I want you to realize that whenever there's times where I am, man, I'm ready to just throw in the towel, I hear her voice saying, I believe in you, Munu. I believe in you, Munu. You can do it. You can do anything God's put in your heart. And so, every time I see her, when we go down there for camp, she's always going to get in my face and, are you still working the plan of God? That's what she's going to do. And then I think about, of course, y'all know Kathy Matlock. I've known Kathy Matlock since 94, and she has always been the encourager. She's the one who, when I am deflated, she inflates me. And so if I ever am just feeling the mully grubs, that lady can pick you. I don't care how heavy you are. the woman can pick you up. And so when I'm thinking about moms, I think there's three ladies that have been mothers in my life, you know, one for 47 years and the rest for about 25 years. And so so that just encourages me. And of course, you know, me as a dad, I can be that way as well. And so anyhow, all right, in 2 Kings, if I can get there myself here, you know, there's a lot of great women in the Bible, and chapter 4 here is probably one of my favorites. And as I was thinking this this week on I knew I was going to preach about women, you know, and so I just prayed, Lord, which one? Where are we going today? And so this is the one the Lord dropped in my heart. And so I want to show you a couple of just a few points on what a woman of faith looks like. What a woman of faith looks like. Let's start in verse 8. And it happened one day Elisha went to Shunem, where he was there, where there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. And she said to her husband, "Look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes us regularly. Please let us make a small upper room on the wall, and let us put a bed for him there, and a table and a chair and a lampstand. So it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there." So one of the first things that I want to share about what a woman of faith looks like, a woman of faith recognizes the Word of God. They recognize the anointing. They recognize what God is showing them and what God is saying. You know, you look back and there's a couple other places, you know, in 1 Kings 17, this is when Elisha went to that same area, and you know, the Lord said he's tapped a widow woman to sustain you, and gets in there, and he just goes and tells the widow woman to bring him some food, and of course, or probably a drink, and she was ready to go bring it to him. She you know, no biggie, and somebody asked you for a drink, why not? But then when he said, "And bring me something to eat also," that same woman said, "Look, all I have is enough for me and my son to eat, and that's it, we're dead, you know, that's it." But even though she just told him what was going on, and he said, "Well, go ahead and bring me something first," she did it. She went ahead and did it. And no person in the right mind would do that for a stranger. But she recognized, she got a, on the inside, there was some discernment there. Matter of fact, in 2 Kings 4, one of the phrases it uses is that she discerned that he was a man of God. She discerned that she perceived. I think King James says, she perceived. She perceived. You know, it's very important that we recognize anointing or anointings in people. Because, you know, in the past, you know, the word televangelist over the years has become such a negative term. And it's because over the years, it seems like that's all you see people doing or evangelists doing on the TV is more fundraising. And I'm not against fundraising at all, but there was more fundraising, more trying to receive than there was trying to give. Now, we believe that receiving is a part of giving, but receiving is the second part of giving. Harvest comes after a seed. And so a lot of people, they would give toward a lot of ministries that are just always, and I hate to say, it's not even asking, it's almost begging, and they're not always discerning that that's what God is telling them to do. And so it's important that we discern what God is trying to say to us. You know, my mom over the years, I've always appreciated the fact that she was very discerning where she sent her money. You know, probably one of her first partnerships ever was Oral Roberts. When she came to America, you know, she was saved under T.L. Osborne's ministry. And so when she came to America, T.L. Osborne was not a real big name in America. He was such a big name in foreign countries, but not necessarily here in the States. And so there was no one like him. And so somehow she heard of Oral Roberts and started really pursuing that ministry. And so for years have been, you know, she was a supporter. She sowed seed there. And so, you know, she recognized, and my family, I can't even list all the miracles that took place in our home. Supernatural was just normal for us. I mean, it was so normal. I thought it was weird that people didn't see miracles. But it was because she discerned that was a man of God. There was anointing on him, and then she sowed constantly into that life. And so this woman of God, she recognized some truth. She recognized, you know, not everybody you meet is a fivefold ministry, a fivefold minister. You know, a lot of people are what we call self-proclaimed prophets, and they just want, they want your ear. You know, there's a lot of people that just want your ear, so because it makes them feel good. You know, maybe they just want a platform or whatnot. And so it's important. You know, I have an anointing to do what I do. And I tell people this all the time. You never, ever want to call yourself into ministry. You'll get killed. I mean, it's just, you've got to have grace on you to be in the ministry. You've got to have an anointing. Because first of all, I've tried to do certain things that I wasn't anointed to do, and it's work. I mean, it's really hard. It's not very fulfilling either. But for us, because we're anointed to do all that we do, it's very fulfilling to us. You know, you always have trying times by all means, but for us, it's just called working out. That's just the soreness of the muscles we've been exercising. That's what tough times are. And so again, the first one is a woman of faith recognizes truth, or they recognize the word. So in other words, so just because somebody comes around and says, well, the Lord told me to tell you to do this. I don't know you, but this woman, these women, somehow on the inside, they discerned that this was a man of God. Number two, a woman of faith gives out of love for the kingdom. A woman of faith gives out of love for the kingdom. You know, 2 Kings 4:10, she said, here, let us make a chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him a little bed and a little table, a little stool, a candlestick, and it shall be that when he comes to us, that he will turn in thither. You know, I think it's kind of neat. This lady was thinking like that. I just want to bless this prophet. He's, you know, back then they, you know, maybe the prophet was a circuit preacher. You know, you had the circuit preachers way back here in the States. The preacher would go from town to town. They wouldn't a pastor in every town. You know, believe it or not, I've actually met some locally that's they still do that. There's a lot of these churches in these small towns don't have pastors. Because there's no salary to be had in a small town for a pastor, and so you can't get someone to come pastor these churches. And so there are pastors that will go. They'll have a 9 o'clock service at one town. They'll go and have a 10 or 10:30 service in another town. Then they'll go to the next place and continue on. And so again, I've known a lot of people that have made rooms for some of these types of people. And so it's kind of neat that someone had a heart. This lady had a heart to take care of this pastor. You know, I've known people that they pray, they wanted more than two vehicles so that whenever a minister came into town, they had a vehicle to loan that minister while they were in town. And it's just the neatest thing. There's always somebody recently had bought a house and it had extra rooms, and that was their deal. I mean, if you think about it, look at, you know, there might not have been a Jerry Savelle. Jerry Savelle had Carolyn Savelle's parents not always put the preacher in their house. You know, and Brother Copeland would go and preach there in Shreveport. Well, he wouldn't stay at a hotel. He would stay at Jerry Savelle's in-law's house. Of course, I guess when they were married, I guess I couldn't remember. But anyway, but at the same time, you know, people would bring you into their house. And so what a blessing that people would do things. You know, Wanda Clark, one of our dear friends, and she's kind of like a mother to us as well. In South Carolina, they built this beautiful, beautiful house on about 6 acres on the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains there. And it looks like a giant dollhouse is what it looks like. And their whole goal was they wanted a bed and breakfast for ministers. And so I'll never forget the first time Keys and I stayed at this new house. The first time we stayed with them, we're on our honeymoon, we went and stayed with some friends, you know. And so, but the next time we went out there, they were in their new house, and we walked into the bedroom they had. It was beautiful setup, and she's real rustic looking. And then she had a really pretty gift basket on the bed. And then in the gift basket was a really nice menu. She wanted us to, you know, fill out what we wanted for breakfast and lunch and all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, it just means a lot when someone, there's little things. You know, for me in my life, it's the little things that make the biggest difference, because time is what we desire the most. We need more. So when someone jumps in to do something, I'm like, wow, that's like a, you know, one of my friends came and mowed my front yard the other day. I saw, matter of fact, when we were in Belize, the Ring doorbell went off and I looked on my app and here he was on a riding lawnmower cutting the front yard. I'm like, well, praise the Lord. You know, and then one of my neighbors down the street, you know, I don't have, you know, it could take me 2 days to mow 10 acres. And he said, oh, you know what? If you don't want the hay, I'll mow you pasture. I'll keep the hay if that's okay. I said, take it. You know, he's done a lot for us. And so again, it means a lot. And so this man, she just loved gives. This lady loved the kingdom. It wasn't that she was affectionate toward the individual. It was she recognized that this was a man of God. That this was a man of God, and God took care of her, took care of the man. And so it's important that we recognize love. All, you know, we all know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. Amen. And then if you look at, I'll read this in 1 Kings 17, verse 10 and 11. So he rose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water that I may drink. And she was going to fetch it, and he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread. Now she did it. You know why? Because she loved the kingdom. She sought first the kingdom of God. And so again, there, now thank God, I've never had to make a major, the Lord has never required me to make a massive sacrifice giving everything I had. Now I'll tell you what, one of the reasons why is because we've always given. You know, a lot of times there needs to be a jump start, kind of like when you're fasting, you're shocking your body there almost. And so God may have me do something sometime. There's been times where I've given away things that were precious to me, and it was no big deal. Because again, if God's talking to me about giving something away, pardon me, I don't give nothing away, I sow it. I greatly dislike the word pay it forward. That is so unscriptural, and you miss out on what God is actually saying when he's showing you to sow seeds. We don't pay forward, we sow seed, because God wants you to be a blessing, but he wants you to get a harvest on that as well. So number two, a woman of faith gives out of love for the kingdom. You know, my mother, she always gave. Even though she didn't have a whole lot, whenever there was an evangelist that come, she made sure she gave something. I'll never forget watching her sometimes put stuff in the offering. And I, you know, my mom didn't know that you really don't let your kids know how bad things are, okay? She didn't know that. You know, we all know that. You never let them know how bad things are. She didn't realize that. And so I knew how bad things were. And all of a sudden, she'd pull up money from her purse, and she's putting in the offering plate for an evangelist. And I thought, whoa. But you know what? We never did without. You know, I had a clean pair of pants all the time. Now it was the same pair of pants every day, but it was a clean pair. And so she cleaned houses and worked for some rich folk. And those boys, I was husky. And so their pants didn't fit me. But oh man, their shirts, they wore Polo and Izod. That was back when the Izod alligator was small, not great big. And the Polo was small and not great big. I'm like, man, are people blind? You gotta make the logo bigger? I mean, that don't even make sense. And so, and I say, I wouldn't mind wearing a small Polo now. I can't wear one of those big old giant, you know, it's just awkward to me. And so anyhow, number three, a woman of faith holds on to her dreams. A woman of faith holds on to her dreams. You know, when the prophet came and would stay at her house, then the prophet's assistant said, hey, what can we do for this woman? She is taking care of us. We need to do something for her. Well, listen, the Bible says that God will give you the desires of your heart. It says in Psalms 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. What is the desires of your heart? What is on the inside? Because if it's in there, God knows this, and if we just walk out his plan, where it starts with us acting or sowing or putting our hand to the plow, then God will give us the desires of our heart. And so in Luke chapter 2, verse 19, you know, Mary heard the words of the angel Gabriel. And the Bible says here, and this is the Amplified, but Mary was keeping within herself all these things, these sayings, weighing and pondering them in her heart. In other words, the words the prophet said, she took them to heart. She kept those dreams alive. And then all of a sudden, the prophet comes and tells her that she's going to have a kid. Luke 2:19 in the Message version. It says, Mary kept all these things to herself, holding them dear deep within herself. You see, if you have dreams on the inside that have not come to pass just yet or hadn't been fulfilled, listen, maybe even dreams of seeing your kids do great things for God or your grandkids or all that kind of stuff, don't let go. Keep doing what you're doing. Galatians 6:9, be not weary in well-doing, for you shall reap. Everyone say, I will reap. For the Bible says, you shall reap if you faint not. I believe it's the Amplified says, not to give up, cave in, or quit. That's what the original Greek says also. Don't give up, cave in, or quit. You know, I always hear, like, you know, I think of that today on Mother's Day because, you know, listening to the voices in my head of my mom, what are you doing staying still? Or Miss Rachel, don't quit. Don't give up. You're almost there. The prize is just before you. Michael, anything God called you to do, you can do it. The only impossibility is your opinion of it being impossible. So don't think it impossible. And so again, no matter how crazy it looks, hang on to the word. Hang on to the dream that God gave you because, listen, God has great things for each and every one of us. In Luke chapter 11, verse 28, it says, but he said, you rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. This is the sower. Hear the word of God and keep it. So again, when you have a word, God gave you a word, or he's put a desire, or his spirit impress something on your heart, keep it. Don't let it go. Don't let it escape. You know, the sower sowing the word, that's exactly what the Bible says the devil wants us to do, is let that word, let that desire, let that vision or that dream get stolen out of your heart. But a woman of faith hangs on to those dreams. Number four, a woman of faith believes the word even if it sounds ridiculous. In that passage in 2 Kings 4:17, the woman conceived and bore a son at the season that Elisha had said unto her according to the time of life. This woman was maybe she wasn't all the way past that childbearing age. She wasn't like Sarah was, but it was past time. She was up in years. But no matter how ridiculous the word God gives you is, hang on to it. You know, there was a verse I was reading and it made this statement this week about having a sure word of prophecy. And then Paul told Timothy to war a good warfare by the prophecies given unto you. The Lord dealt me this week about, you know, I've never done this. If someone tries to give me a word, if it didn't bear witness, I will put it away. I will throw it out. Matter of fact, if I know that it's not from God, and you'll know. These ones that have been given to me, I have them listed in my phone and my iPad, and I go over those things because, again, they are a sure word of prophecy. They're an absolute word of prophecy. And when the devil is whispering to your feelings, when the devil is whispering to your emotions, or to your soul and any part of your soul saying, it's not going to happen, you'll never do it, that was just some kind of a flippant word someone gave you. No. That was a sure word. I know that person. I know who they are. I know the anointing. That's why we've got to recognize anointings. You know, that's why pastors do things that pastors do, and evangelists do things evangelists do. We all have our place and position. You know, there was a place where you know, in the Old Testament, the king was not supposed to make the sacrifice. The priest was. And Saul got out of his place. He tried to do something that the pastor was anointed to do. Listen, let's not make that mistake. Let's not assume that we're all this, we're all that. Well, you can do this, you can do that. No. There are anointings for purposes. And there are purposes for anointings. We're not so far above God that we can bypass God's purpose for the anointing and the anointing for the purpose. Does that make sense? And so a sure word of prophecy. So a woman of God believes, even if it sounds ridiculous. Luke chapter 1, verse 38, and Mary said, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. So in other words, I don't understand what you're saying. This is ridiculous that I'm going to have a baby. I've never known a man. But you know what? Even though it's ridiculous, I receive the word of the Lord. I receive. Abraham, you know, the Bible says that he believed God. They believed God, and they conceived. The Bible said that he didn't waver in unbelief. So again, we're not going to waver. I don't care how crazy it sounds. Well, I've got great things for you, and you're going to do this, and you're going to do this, and your children will do great things. Well, oh, I don't see it. Well, the key to it is keeping our mouths shut. This week I went to I was in Rockwall at the optometrist to get new glasses, and got them ordered. So hopefully they're here this week. But I was talking to the guy, and in my mouth I got potty mouthed. I got real potty mouthed, and I started to talk real bad. And the man, I didn't know this at that point, but he was a spirit-filled Christian, and he corrected me. He corrected me and said, "Well, what did he say?" He said something about, he didn't say, well, we're going to speak the word, but he basically is what he was saying. I thought, oh God, I can't believe. Keisha walked out. She said, "Well, you got corrected. You got busted, didn't you?" I said, "Yes, I did." I said, I was talking about a problem, and this man, some stranger I did not know, corrected me. You know what? You and I need correction. And if you and I are not getting correction, we have a problem because we are so not perfect. We are so, and if we're not getting correction, guess what? We are probably traveling down some roads that we need someone to, thank God I got people in my life, and if they're not there, then God's going to use a dead-gum stranger to fix my tongue and correct my words. And I thought, all right, so Keisha, you know, of course, you know, she probably had told me that same thing before, then finally she jumped on that one there, and Michael, we got to keep our mouths in order. We got to speak the answer only and not the problem. I know, you know, and so anyhow, but what I'm saying is, no matter how ridiculous it sounds, let's speak faith. Let's believe God. That's number four. A woman of faith believes the Word of God. Number five, a woman of faith knows what to do in time of trouble. Now look at in 2 Kings 4 in verse 21. This is something that always spoke volumes to me, and this is where I've got to watch myself, and we all got to watch ourselves. And when she went up and laid the child, because the child had died, went up and laid the child on the man of on the bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him, and went out. Then she called to her husband and said, "Please send me out, send one of my young men with one of the donkeys, that I may run to the man of God and come back." So he said, "Why are you going to him today? Is it it is neither the new moon nor Sabbath?" She said, "It is well." Then he saddled the donkey and said to his servant, "Drive and go forward. Do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you." And so she departed and went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. So it was when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to the servant Gehazi, "Look, the Shunammite woman. Please run now to meet her and say to her, 'Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child?'" And she answered, "It is well." So I want you to see this. Until she made a connection with the Word. See, they didn't have the written Word. They had the man of God with the Word of God. Until she made a connection with the Word of God, she wasn't talking about her problems. In other words, she didn't tell her problem to anyone who didn't have an answer. You see, if you're going to come to somebody with a problem, only go to a person who is going to do one of two things. They're going to correct your words, or they're going to give you answers. Well, bless God, I got it from a stranger this way. I got corrective words, and I got answers. Well, I should have got that on my own, but I was having pity parties, and so, you know how that goes. And then the voice of your mother in the head again, "Boy, get up. You encourage your dadgum self, but what's your problem? What are you, a pansy?" And so anyhow, but what I'm saying is this lady kept her mouth shut. She kept her mouth shut. Keys and I were talking this week about how guarding ourselves when communicating some of the things. We've got to stop bragging on the devil. We've got to stop giving him the headlines. And man, there's always going to be opportunities to give the headlines, but we got to. And you know, I know our human nature wants someone to wrap their arms around us and stroke us on the head and say, there, it's going to be okay. We all want that. I mean, you know, we love to be nurtured. We love that, okay? And there's nothing wrong with being nurtured. But at the same time, you and I are men and women of faith. We have got to get a grip on the Word of God, the old death grip. You know, Gloria Copeland calls it the bulldog faith. You know, my spiritual mother, Rachel Birchfield, talks about one time how she saw they were out of the lake, and this little bulldog, I forgot what kind of bulldog it was, but ran, and they had one of these ropes by the lake where you're hanging off a tree and you go and jump and grab the rope and you swing out on the lake and you drop. Well, this bulldog ran, jumped, grabbed that rope and just hung there. And he is just hanging there by holding that jaw. And she talked about having bulldog faith as well. Have that death grip on that thing and don't let go. Don't let go. No matter what is going on in our lives, we keep our words. We keep our minds on the Word of God. And it's not about just not saying the wrong thing, but you're not changing the situation until we say the word thing. You see, things don't change until we plant the word seed, because the word is what... See, not saying anything is not what brings the life, but speaking the truth of the Word of God, because the Word of God is life. And that's what begins to change things. So this woman knew what to do in times of trouble. The Bible says to labor to enter into the rest. Well, this woman, she knew this. She put her son in the place where the word rests, in the prophet's bed, and then she went and found the word of God. See, the word rests right here. But we don't stop with just, I know this scripture, I know that scripture. We meditate and speak it until faith rises up from that word, and that's when you've hit the prophet right there. That's when you've hit the prophet, is when that word rises up on the inside. And then last one, number 6, a woman of faith takes what belongs to them. Verse 37, it kind of ends this, and she came in, went down on her face to the earth and at his feet. Then she took her son in her arms and went out. In other words, she got her son prayed for. She knew what she wanted. She had a promise. She went and got it taken care of. She was done. Now it's time to keep on going. Listen, you and I, God wants us to take what belongs to us, because we have a mandate. We have a mission. We have an assignment. And our assignment is not taking care of our little problems all the time. Now, I said little problems because a lot of times you look back after it's all over with, you're like, ooh, that was kind of a minor thing there, wasn't it? Whoops. Okay, can't believe I did that. I spent that much time on that thing right there. Listen, everything, when you stare at it long enough, it gets bigger. And so if we stare at the word long enough, the word gets bigger. And the bigger thing eats the smaller thing. And so we've got to make sure we're feeding the right thing. But this woman, she her faith took what belongs to her. We all know Mark 11:24. Therefore I say to you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Everyone say the word receive. The word receive means take. It means take. You and I have to take what belongs to... This woman wasn't settling for this. See, she had a promise that she's going to have a kid. She didn't have a promise that she's going to have a kid for a couple years and then that's it. That's not what the promise was, but she went and she laid hold and took this thing. Matthew 11:12, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. This woman of God, I tell you, a woman of faith takes what belongs to them. This morning, I believe we can all take from this woman. I believe we can see the greatness. I mean, the Bible even says she was a notable woman. It uses the word great. She was great. She was a mighty woman. Well, I believe we just walked out the seeing of her greatness on the outside because of what she did and how she acted and how she responded to the things of God, to the Word of God, and to God Himself. This morning, I believe that you and I have greatness on the inside. I believe that if anything... And if we're dealing with any of these things, we're struggling in the areas, well, then this is our challenge. This is our... I'll tell you what, I've got challenged this week. I got stirred on this week to start standing, start believing, start speaking. And if we're not speaking over our problems, no worry, there is somebody who's speaking also, that is the devil. And so you need to be the loudest voice. I need to be the loudest voice in my life. I need to be the loudest voice in my head. I need to be the loudest voice in my home. I need to be the loudest voice in every part of my life. And that voice needs to be the believer's voice of faith. Amen? Let's stand this morning. don't know if you, any of y'all get Brother Rick Renner's daily emails, or if you read his devotional, the Sparkling Gems. We get the emails, and so you click on the email, and it takes you to the YouTube. So you get to, instead of having to read it, you can watch it. And this week, he was teaching on one of the verses in Timothy about in the last days perilous times will come. You know, we are in perilous times, and he explained what the word perilous means, and you don't want to know. But what I'm saying is for you and I, we have got to make sure that we are toughening up, that we are growing in our faith, that we are growing in our resolve, that we are, listen to this, growing in our faithfulness. Because in perilous times, the elite will fall away. The elite will fall away. Those who have held great positions in church, in Christendom, will fall away. They will no longer proclaim what they used to proclaim. And so I don't want to be one of those people. I want to be the guy that has the resolve. You think about all these martyrs. You know, a lot of the martyrs, you know, back in the day were burnt at the stake. I'll tell you this. I hate to hear the fact that Christians are being martyred in other countries. But what people don't realize is those people that are being martyred. Now, I've seen this with I've watched video of some of these guys. And I've heard firsthand, these guys make a choice. They would rather be martyred for God than to deny their Christ. And so, people say, well, I feel sorry for those people that be martyred. You know, listen, don't feel sorry for them. You know, yeah, they're feeling some moments of pain, but at the same time, they gone. They gone. They are in heaven. They're rejoicing that, ha, I didn't fall. I stood strong. They lit me on fire. They fed me to the lions. That lion bit my hand off first, then my leg, and then my shoulder. Then he bit my ear off. And while my head was in his mouth and he was severing the neck with his teeth, here I am. I tell you what, boy, I tell you, this is awesome. Listen, what I'm saying is that now more than ever, our resolve, our belief in the Word of God, not a hearer only, but a doer. So if you believe, you'll do. Our belief is what's going to carry us through. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you. We thank you for great women. We thank you for great women in this house. I thank you that this house has women that stand the test of time. Women that stand through every attack of the enemy and can firmly say, greater is he who is in me than he who's defeated in the world. And Father, I thank you for the example in this house and the example from the Word of God of what a great woman is. Father, I bless these women here today. I bless the moms. I bless the wives. I bless the dads. I bless the husbands. I bless every person today here. And Father, if there's any one of us that might be struggling in any one of these areas, Father, we accept the challenge today to push harder, to climb higher, and to not give up. And we thank you for it now. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all receive that this morning? I'm telling you what, it's a new day. It is a new day. And you can press past the junk into the glory. Amen?